This morning, look in Luke chapter number 12 with me. We're going to look in Luke. We're going to take a text verse there and just kind of jump in right there. And then we're going to look in Psalms and Proverbs some this morning. I was going to preach a totally different message, but God said to switch her up right here. So that's what we're going to do. We're going to change gears and we're going to switch up a message that God gave me back but right before the first of the year. And I'm praying God will use it to help somebody this morning. And you know, help from God comes in a lot of different fashions. Sometimes the help from God comes in the form of, we'll say, a hug or a little love. Sometimes help comes from God in a way of correction. That's a gentle rebuke. Sometimes help comes from God in the form of a strong rebuke. But at any rate, all of those things are helpful if we'll make the right application to our life. It's kind of like going to the doctor. The doctor, you go to the doctor and the doctor says you got high blood pressure. You got real high blood pressure. And if you'll take your blood pressure pill and you'll correct your diet and you'll exercise a little more, we can get the problem under control and it'll quite possibly save you from having a life-ending stroke or heart attack. And you leave the doctor's office and you say, that stinking quack don't know what he's talking about. And you don't take the medicine. And you don't change your diet. And you don't exercise. And then in about 18 months or 2 years, you're back in the doctor's office again and your blood pressure's astronomically high now. You've had three mini strokes, and you're on the verge of having a heart attack. And the doctor says, why didn't you do what I asked you to do? You could have bypassed all this. We say, well, just thought I could do it my own way. Right. You know, that's the way people are in church a lot of times. They come into church, they get the diagnosis. They get the prescription. They'll only either do one part of the prescription or they'll do two parts, but they won't do it all. Or they'll just keep going like they're going because basically what... If I do that, Brother James, and I don't do what the doctor says do, what I'm saying is I'm smarter than he is. Now, he's been to medical school. He's had an internship. He's done all the things required to be done to be licensed by the state and to have his medical degree, but yet I'm saying me with a high school education is smarter than he is. Well, if I come to God's Word and God shows me something in His Word that I need to do in my life and I don't do it, I'm saying I'm smarter than God. Now, we don't want to look at it that way, but that's what it amounts to. You say, well, I'm just going to keep doing it my own way. I'm doing just fine all by myself. Then you must think you're smarter than God. Guess what I see? You ain't doing okay by yourself. You maybe ought to take some of this stuff that God's helping you with and make an application. Right? Okay, now, I want to bring a message to you this morning. I've titled, Some Fools You're Going to Have to Deal With in Life. There's some fools you're going to have to deal with in life. You might as well face it. Some fools, some foolish people you're going to have to deal with. I'll try to tell you this morning how to help you deal with these kind of people. At in way of introduction, before we get into our scripture, I thought it was kind of interesting what Webster defines the word fool. Webster says a fool is one who is destitute of reason or the common powers of understanding. Webster said in 1828, an idiot. He goes on to say some persons are born fools, and they're called natural fools. Others may become fools by some injury due to the brain. In common language, a person who is somewhat deficient in intellect, but not an idiot, or a person who acts absurdly, one who does not exercise good reason, one who pursues a course contrary to the dictates of wisdom. Right? That's what we think about a fool. We would commonly say that a person that don't make no sense why they did or said what they did or did what they did, why did they do that? We say that's foolish. Right? That if you do something foolish, that makes you what? Yeah, one of them things. The Bible says a fool is a pretty strong word. In Luke 12, look here with me in verse number 16. In Luke 12, verse number 16, and he spake a parable unto them, saying, and Brother James has been teaching and doing a great job on Sunday mornings about the parables, but he said, he spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do, because I have no room where to bestow my fruits? And he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. Jesus used the word fool here. Now, he used the term thou fool. In the Greek right there, that meant someone who is mindless, stupid, ignorant, egotistical, rash, or immoral. That's kind of a broad term, isn't it? He said, you're a foolish man. The word fool in your King James Bible appears 69 times. Many of those times are located in Psalms and Proverbs. So it's where we'll find an illustration of the fools that you're going to encounter at some point in your life, and especially this year. Now, fools and foolish people are found in many places. You're going to find fools out in the world as you go along. You're going to find fools as you go into the workplace. Can anybody say amen right there? And sad to say, you may just have to deal with some fools in your own home. Sometimes folks say foolish things and act foolish. They're merely repeating what they've heard somebody else say. We see that a lot among young people. They say and repeat exactly what they hear in the home. I can spend about 30 minutes with your children and I can tell just about exactly what goes on in your home. Do you realize that? We don't like that kind of stuff now, do we now? But I tell you what your children hear and see in the home, they will do and repeat in public. And if you're going to live like the devil in your home and your youngins act like little demons out in public, don't you beat them too hard, because they got exactly what they're watching you do. Amen. We pick at Rebecca all the time because she's such a drama queen. I mean, she's a drama queen. She could have made it on Broadway without no trouble at all. Everything to Rebecca is a big thing. Everything to Rebecca is all excitement. I mean, everything's just got to get in a spin. I mean, there's no simple things. Nothing happens simply. Everything is just, ah! I mean, with Rebecca, it's just that way. Every day in life is that way. We went down Thursday night. CJ had his little awards thing. Of course, all CJ got an award for, thank God he got an award, but he got an award for, I think, AB Honor Roll. I think he cooked the books, but he got AB Honor Roll. What I should have done, Laura, I thought about this after, and it's very unusual for me to think about something afterwards. I'm usually pretty quick on these things. When I came in, she said, I didn't know y'all were coming tonight. I said, well, tonight's graduation, isn't it? That's what I should have said, because my grandson's graduating from kindergarten this Friday night. Can you believe that, Amanda? He just grew up before my very eyes. And if I don't go, I tell you what, I'm going to be on the list. I'm going to tell you what. Because with Rebecca, she just write me off. I don't love her. I don't love her children. I ain't never liked her. She never loved me. But she said something about Derek being such a, she calls him so, he's so emotional. I just looked at her and grinned. She said, I know where he got that from. Some people are so dramatic, aren't they? You know, some people are just very foolish. I'm not saying all people that are dramatic are foolish, but some people, sometimes those two things go hand in hand. You know, there's times when you'll let your emotions get the best of you, Brother James, a lot of people will, and they'll say foolish things. I've had people that they let their emotions get a control of their life and said things to me that were just had no basis in fact at all. And I had somebody tell me one time, said, "I feel as though I've been kicked to the curb." That had no basis in fact at all. It was a foolish statement made based on emotions. Sometimes we get emotional, we'll say foolish things. Sometimes folks act foolish out of ignorance, right? You can talk to people about politics, you'll find out real quick some people are foolish. Thank you. There must be a lot of foolish people riding around because I see a whole lot of Obama stickers riding around. Sometimes folks act foolish because they're trying to fit in. If that's true, we see that with children. How many of you have ever said this about a child? They're acting a fool. You know why you say that? Because they're acting foolish. They're trying to fit in, right? Sometimes folks are just plain old fools. They're just plain old fool. It's sad, really, because they don't see a thing wrong with their foolish attitude. They're not bothered at all by your pleas for reason. You ever try to reason with somebody who's foolish? It's about impossible, isn't it? I mean, they've got their mind made up. My brother-in-law used to say this of his first wife. He said she'd got a mind like a steel trap. He said, once it's closed, can't nothing else to get in there. But you deal a lot with foolish people that way. You cannot reason with a fool. Take your Bible. I want you to see these things in Psalms and Proverbs with me. It's be easy. We're going to get along all right this morning. Boy, you're going to get out. You're going to think the preacher's backslid. You're going to get out so early this morning, this afternoon sometime, next week, first part of next month. Psalm 14, look here with me. One of the most prevalent fools in our world today is the first fool I want to talk about. Because this is where we find ourselves at the very root of what we believe, the very root of what we're trying to accomplish. We have revival coming up here in a few weeks, and why do we even have missionaries? Because this one verse right here strikes at the very heart of why the church even exists. And if we don't see the need to spread the gospel, and if we don't see the need to see people accept Christ as their personal Savior, then we might as well all go home right now, close the doors, call the power company and tell them to turn the power off. Call the phone company and tell them to come pull the wire out of the wall. Call somebody, auction house, and say, just tear it all out and auction it all off. We're selling the whole outfit. Because if we're not really interested in dealing with this kind of fool, we might as well forget it. We're sunk. By the way, that's why a lot of churches are sinking today. Psalms 14, verse number 1, the first fool that we need to think about is the lost fool. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt. They have done abominable works. There is none that doeth good. The Lord looketh down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there be any that did understand and seek God. They're all gone aside. They're all together become filthy. There's none that doeth good, no, not one. Have all the workers of iniquity no knowledge, who eat up my people as they eat bread and call not upon the Lord? There were they in great fear, for God is in the generation of the righteous. Ye have shamed the counsel of the poor, because the Lord is his refuge. Oh, that the salvation of Israel were come out of Zion, when the Lord bringeth back the captivity of his people. Jacob shall rejoice and Israel shall be glad. David here is writing under the inspiration of God. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Now the Bible tells us that the demons believe in God and they call his name and even they tremble in his presence. It's one thing to know something in your mind. It's quite another to know something in your heart. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Now, a lot of people say things from the mind and they don't have any idea what they're saying. They really don't. People that say, well, God don't really love me. They're saying that from their mind. They can't be saying, if they're saying that really from their heart, then they're a fool. That's like the Christian person that's truly again, born again, child of God, who says, I do not think Jesus really cares. What they're saying is they're speaking from their mind and not their heart. Because our emotions are controlled, they control our mind, don't they? Amen. Now, y'all stick with me for a minute. It says here, the fool saith in his heart, there is no God. See, when you say something in your heart, it means that you not only believe it, but you feel it. You're going to find a lot of lost folks if you look for them. And you'll be surprised where you find them at, too. I find a lot of lost folks in the church house. I find a lot of lost folks in the church, but you know what I find also in the church? I find a lot of proud folks that are so prideful that they won't respond to an invitation of God. They won't respond when God convicts them of their lost condition because they've put on a show so long. They've played a charade for so long. They've been dramatic so long. They say, well, if I go forward or if I get saved, then the preacher's going to tell it all over the community that I got saved and I was already a church member and I'll be embarrassed about that. I find a lot of lost folks out of the church. Outside the church. I find a lot of lost folks come to church for a little while and they don't stay long. But I've always said that you will not sit around under good Bible preaching very long because you'll either get saved or you'll get out one another. You're not going to stick around just to say, boy, I like this, I like this. Yeah, I like getting beat up every week. I like getting knocked around every week. Oh, I just love it. I'm just loving this. No, you don't. You won't like it. You're not going to do it very often. You may do it to please somebody. You may do it to keep peace in the home. You may do it to keep harmony in the home. But guess what? If you're not really saved, you're going to be miserable every time you walk in these doors. And you'll quit coming after a while. And that's just a fact of life. Amen? Hey, preacher, are you trying to say everybody used to come here, don't come here no more lost? That ain't what I said. I said it's hard for a lost person to sit in good Bible preaching. Because that Bible cuts. Amen? And it'll draw blood after a little while. You'll be surprised where you'll find that lost fool. That lost fool, you'll find him in church sometimes. You find him out of church. And I tell you what, they all got the same problem. They're blinded and they're living in darkness. The Word of God's very simple. It says they're living in darkness. We have the light and they're living in darkness. Isn't that something? We were somewhere the other day and I looked up at all the stars in the sky and I said, my, isn't it beautiful? So you can't see that when you're in town. Too much light around. Too many different kinds of lights around. I think that's what's got a lot of people. They're not only blinded by darkness, Brother James, but I think they're blinded by the lights of the world. Amen. And you get around a place that's got a lot of lights, you can't see things. That's why I used to like working the graveyard shift. I'd drive out in the middle of the country and just pull up the intersection, cut the car off, get out, walk around, listen. Listen to all the critters. I didn't hear no voices. So you always hear, I do hear voices. But I didn't hear anybody talking other than me. But I looked around and I would look around at the stars and I would look around and I would see the beauty of God. But you see, the world today is not only blinded by the darkness of their heart, but they're blinded by the darkness of the world that has blinded them with a false light. And there's a lot of people today going after a false light. That's very obvious, isn't it? Flip over to Psalms 49 with me. We're moving right along. We're in like the big bear. I'm making tracks. I'm going somewhere. Psalms 49. We see in Psalms 49, there's not only a lost fool you're going to have to think about dealing with, but you're going to find a secular fool. In verse number 10 of Psalm 49, the Word of God says, for he seeth that wise men die, likewise the fool and the brutish person perish and leave their wealth to others. The brutish person perish and leaveth their wealth to others. Now, the fool, and you know these kind of people, they're not interested in nothing but forgetting all they can and canning all they can get. Now, I'm not wanting you to get upset with your boss or the one that owns the company this morning. I'm just saying, you know people in your very neighborhood. They're more interested in what they can get than anything else. They've got this mentality, the one that dies with the most toys wins. Most of the time, the one that dies with the most toys goes straight to hell anyway. So, he never did have Jesus. He's going to go to hell anyway, right?
It's all about, this is it, crowd says, it's all about what I can get, no matter who I hurt in the process. You ever heard that old saying, there ain't no armored car going to follow no hearse to the graveyard? I've never seen one. I've been to a lot of funerals. I've never seen one. And I've never seen one riding around the graveyard. And I've never seen anybody drive off in the car, that they, whatever they valued so much, I've never seen them take it after they die. Amen. I like what Mr. Robert said. Right out here, he owned a big farm, 100-and-some-acre farm out here. He had tractors, trucks, all that kind of stuff like a farmer has. And he told Brother Larry right before he died, he said, Sonny, he said, when you get down to where I am right now, none of this stuff makes any difference at all. He said, the only thing that matters is Jesus. The only thing that matters, you know what matters today is Jesus. I don't care if that fellow that just won the Powerball in Florida or the homeless person on the street, if the homeless man's got Jesus today, he's got more than that fellow's got down there with his millions. But if the fellow down there's got them millions as a Christian, born-again child of God, I sure would love to be his pastor right now, amen? Because he's a good Christian. He's going to tithe some of that, some whole bunch of millions of dollars, amen? Wouldn't that be good? Wouldn't that be a blessing? Amen. Put that in mission and say amen right there. Hey, I'll tell you what, I've never seen an armored car fall anybody to graveyard. You're going to find a lot of these fools around these days, especially in the economy like it is. Isn't it something for the economy to be so bad, for people to be so interested in something that they can't hold on to? Everybody's so excited about the stock market going up. You can make anything go up if you print the money. I wonder sometime my daddy just probably turned over in his grave. He was going to talk about politics again. My daddy used to tell me, he said, son, you ain't never had no big church. You keep talking about politics. I said, well, it's just what it is. It's what it is. This is the world we live in. It's reality. Amen. But I see people today that they just think, boy, this is that. Everything's coming up roses. Everything's coming up roses. Everything's coming up roses. Yeah, they got, we're bound to be in about the same shape it was before. They're talking about housing, selling all these houses. We got places we ride by where apartments have sit. Apartment houses have sit halfway built for, I know, 3 or 4 years, and now all of a sudden they're all been finished and they're all full of people. And these big condos and these townhomes and all these things. We saw this happen once before, didn't we, Brother James? That's when they called it the housing market. The housing market was so good, but they found out they were loaning money to people that couldn't pay it back. Amen. And then they acted like they found that out after they loaned the money out. About 6 months, they said, oh! I didn't realize we didn't do the paperwork right. But this crowd's riding. They're riding high right now. They're riding high right now. They say, boy, this is all that matters. This is all that matters. This is all that matters. Guess what? There's a whole lot more matters than just that. There's a whole lot more. Boy, God's been good to me. I've got more right now than I ever imagined I'd ever have in my life. But I tell you what, hey, we live in a cutthroat world today. And there's a bunch of secular fools out there that say, "That's you can have that old-time religion, preacher. We don't want it. Look, our church is full. Look, we're building on dry building all the time. Yeah, but they're cutting corners on God. They've cut God out. They've took the blood out of everything they're doing. And they're trying to make it easier and easier and easier and easier to try to get people to come so they can give every conscience soothed every week. Yep. Amen. Hey, you think things have been bad before, it's going to be cutthroat around the office. You think it's been bad, it ain't even started to get bad yet. When that secular crowd kicks in, you better know how to deal with them. You say, well, tell us how to deal. I'll get around to telling you how to deal with them here in a minute. Psalms 92. We're going right along. Come on now, Psalms 92. I try to do these things so they'd be in order. That'd help you. Psalms 92. We're going to jump over in Proverbs here in a minute. And Proverbs comes right after Psalms, so you'll be all right. Psalms 92, verse number 6. Psalms 92, that word brutish, we see that word brutish. We look at that word brutish again. That's not a big brawny guy, that's a stupid man. That word brutish means stupid. It says in Psalms 92, 6, a brutish man knoweth not, neither doth a fool understand this. What are you talking about there? Well, it's an evolution fool. Psalms 92 starts off this. It's a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord and to sing praises unto thy name, O Most High, to show forth thy loving kindness in the morning and thy faithfulness every night upon an instrument of 10 strings and upon the psaltery, upon the harp with a solemn sound. For thou, Lord, hast made me glad through thy work. I will triumph in the works of thy hands. O Lord, how great Are thy works and thy thoughts are very deep? But the brutish man knoweth not. Brutish man know nothing about, he don't know nothing about a God of creation. He don't care about a God of creation. Doth a fool, neither doth a fool understand this. That's that evolutionary fool. That's that tree huggers. Amen. I know they're taking over Hillsborough. They done took over so much they had to change the name of Hog Day to Hog Day. Did y'all notice that? I'll tell you about that tonight. Come back tonight. Come back tonight. I'll tell you why. I done studied up on it. Amen. I told my wife. I had a revelation. I had a word of prophecy. I told her what it was. Sure enough, I checked it out this morning. I was right. I'm so smart sometimes my brain hurts, Laura. Hey, I tell you what. Hey, this crowd out here today, we was on our way to church, and my darling daughter, Laura, texted me, and I needed something from the house. So I hadn't made it but to the credit union. So I turned around and I went back. Well, when I went through, there was a little turtle just starting to cross the road. Told my wife, I said, we really ought to stop and get the little turtle out of the road. That's what they do. All up and down the road, they stop these turtles. I don't know why they think, does my fish pond look like a turtle habitat? They come from all over the country with the little rainbow stickers and the Obama stickers on the back of their car. And they coexist and all this. And you can see them. You can see them. It's the funniest thing in the world, Amanda. You see these hippie types? They're coming out of the car and they're holding something like holding the cardboard box like this. And then you see them, they bend down. They saved a little turtle. I ought to put a sign up there and say, please don't leave your turtles here. They're eating my baby geese. Then they'd be in a quandary then, wouldn't they? They wouldn't know what to do. I like that idea. I think I'll do that. I think I'll destine one of them smart things. Y'all write that down. I'll forget it after a while. Hey, they're still out there. We come back by. The turtle was about halfway through one lane. I said, he will never make it. He'll never make it. It's amazing the things people do, though. The Bible said there'll come a day when they worship the created more than the creator. That's where we are. They don't believe in the works of God, but yet they worship the creation of God. Don't they? Amen. The fourth thing is, I know, I'm gonna behave. Proverbs 7. Probably not. Proverbs 7. Look here. I'm trying to help y'all today. You're sitting there this morning, you say, I know some of them kind of fools. I know you do. These are the kind of fools you got to deal with every week right here, what I'm talking about now. In Proverbs 7, verse number 22, we see the one I'll call the uncorrected fool. You ever seen anybody that couldn't be corrected? It says in verse 22, he goeth after her straightway as an ox goeth to the slaughter, or as a fool to the correction of the stocks. An uncorrected fool. It's a picture here of a drunken man on his way to the stocks. He sees nothing wrong with his behavior. He sees not his rude and drunken behavior. He is in essence right, and everybody else is wrong. Now, I know y'all know nobody like that. They're right, and everybody else is wrong. I mean, everything in the world, it's amazing to me how they can be so right all the time, but yet still be so ignorant. I mean, if you're so smart, I told a fellow the other day, that's kind of a little inside thing about your brain hurting, but me and my wife was trying to have an enjoyable time fishing the other day, and we had one, and I'm a people kind of person. You've got to be a people person if you're going to be in the ministry. Fellow come up from, we were having a nice conversation for a fellow from Concord, North Carolina. He was just as polite as he could be. My wife said, he wanted to know what brought us to that area. And my wife said, well, actually my husband, I was doing something. And said, he's actually a pastor. Said, he's preaching a revival down here. She said, oh, I knew he was a preacher before you even told me. I tell by the way he talks. Got that old raspy voice. And that was the day my throat was hurting so bad. And then they talked on a little while longer. And she said something about, my husband's got a lot of Native American blood in him. He said, I can tell. Said, he's dark and slick. Where'd that come from? You're like, You like that, didn't you? You like that? You like that, Miss Bernie? And he said, I know. Yeah, I can tell he's Native American. He's dark and slick. Well, I was dark. I didn't know I was slick. But anyway, in the midst of us having a good conversation with this guy, here come a guy up. And he was, excuse me, from New York. And Lord have mercy, he knew everybody down there. Every boat that came by. I know that guy. Hey, that's Joe. You know how when you're talking to some people, they're just trying to impress you. And he talked and he talked. Lord, he talked and he talked and he talked and he talked. And he talks about all the fish he caught and how I was doing. I would never do it that way. And I would never do it that way. Come to find out, the preacher that I was preaching revival for had actually installed the internet in his house and invited him to church. Brother Lucas works for the phone people down there. And he said, what happened to that guy? Did he just walk off and quit? I said, no, he didn't quit. He's still there. I said, revival, man. I'm just there for a special meeting. Well, anyway, he went on, 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 he went on. He just went on, he went on, went on. And that guy from Concord said, you sure do know a lot. He said, anything that I don't know ain't worth knowing. That's what he said. I said, a fellow as smart as you, I bet your brain hurts some days, don't it? The fellow from Concord got so tickled he had to leave. But anyway, he just was different. All right? Hey, but he was one of them people that he was right and everybody else was wrong. He had done everything. He'd been everywhere. He just knew how to do everything. He'd tell us how to caught shrimp. He'd caught oysters. He'd been clamming. And he looked out there, and the guy from Concord said, I sure would love to find some oysters down here. You know where I can get some oysters at a good price? He said, yeah, right over there. And he's pointing just off into the distance. He said, where's over there? He said, over there on that island over there. There's three islands. We're looking at three different islands. He said, the one on the left, he said, there's a homeless guy that lives over there. And he got them oysters, and he's got the best price. And I thought, a homeless guy, I bet he has got a good price on them. Anyway, there's an uncorrected. You're going to have to talk to some people sometimes that just can't be corrected. You know that, right? Amen? Proverbs chapter 10. Look here with me. I got to go. I'm going somewhere. I love people from New York. My wife's from New York. I do. I love people from New York. I love people all over the place. I was supposed to go to New York in August. I don't know if New York can stand me. They want me to go up there and preach, if y'all can believe that. Proverbs chapter 10, verse number 18, says, he that hideth hatred with lying lips, and he that utters the slander is a fool. We'll call this one here a two-faced fool. Now, I know y'all don't know no two-faced fool. You see, this is a guy, he'll agree with you all the way. He'll agree with you to your face. He's a backslapper. You're the best thing since applesauce. Until he ain't around you no more. I would much rather you tell me that you don't like me than for you to love me up to my face and then stab me in my back. I just don't know no other way to say it. If you don't like me, just say you don't like me. And we'll just you know, I'm not going to be mad at you. If you don't like me, just say, I really don't like you. I mean, I try to like you. I've tried to lie to people, tell me just before I've tried to like you, I just can't like you. I'm just not going to like you. I said, that's fine. Thank you. Thank you for being honest with me. I mean, I have people all the time that come up to me and said, they won't treat me like they just my long-lost buddy. And I know what they've done said about me. It makes it real hard. It really is, because that person, the Word of God says, that's a foolish person. You know? Hey, man. I used to work with a fellow named Bobby McCulloch. Now, some of you old Orange County people knew Bobby McCulloch. Bobby's dead now, but Bobby used to be one of the head men at the sheriff's office. Bobby was actually the fellow that hired me when I went to work there in 1981 under CD9. But Bobby had this saying. He said, if you don't like me in the morning, do me a favor. Don't like me this afternoon. He said, if you hate me today, just do me a favor. Hate me tomorrow. He said, I'd rather know where I stand with you than for you to tell me one thing to my face and then go tell me something else to somebody else.
And isn't that, we see this so prevalent in our society today, though, don't we? I mean, from politics right on down, it seems like, not here now, I don't think so. But I have dealt with it in this church so many times over the years. And it breaks my heart. Because it ought not be that way. It ought not be that way. Now listen, I've got to try to get done. Proverbs 10 and 23. There we go. We're still in Proverbs 10. It says, "It is a sport to a fool to do mischief, but a man of understanding hath wisdom." I call this one the silly fool. I like to have fun as much or more than the next person. I'll pick with my children almost unmercifully. I will. I do. And I pick with my grandchildren. I got a deer head hanging on the wall. And I'd just be... Hannah, my granddaughter, can come in, and every time she comes in, she can't take her eyes off it. She said the other day, she said, "Papa, I think it's getting bigger." I said, "It is bigger." I said, "It's grown two more horns since I put it up there." And she got over there and she went, "It sure has." Hey, I like to pick just as much next person does. You know, I think a laughter is good medicine, don't you? The Bible says that a laughter is a good medicine, but I don't do it all the time. You got to watch somebody silly all the time. I mean, just silly. I don't mean to have a good time. I mean they're just silly all the time. That, to me, a person is silly all the time is trying to hide something. They may be trying to hide their nervous inability to have relationships. I don't know. Some people have, I've watched some people over the years that way, but you know, it's fine. It's good to have a good time, but there's a time to be serious. There's always a time to be serious, isn't it? Proverbs chapter 11. Look here with me. I'm finishing. Proverbs 11, verse number 29. "He that troubleth his own house shall inherit the wind. And fools shall be servant to the wise of heart." He that troubleth his own house shall inherit the wind, and the fool shall be a servant to the wise heart. We'll call this one here the dividing fool. It says he troubles his own house. There's always somebody trying to divide. There's always somebody trying to stir something up. The fool says he loves God, but he won't be faithful to the house of God. The fool hasn't looked down the road at the payday that lies ahead. The fool cares about what they want, not what's best for their family. Somebody was talking to me the other day. I've had a lot of good times. We've had a lot of victories in this church. God has gotten a lot of victory in this church. But I'm thinking about one family right now that took bad counsel and left the church really for no reason at all. That took bad counsel. It's a simple country term. I've never heard nobody else use it. I didn't get it out of a book, but I call it hitching your mule up to the wrong wagon. That's when you hook up with the wrong crowd and you go the wrong way. And I told this young man, a beautiful family, a nice young couple, had a lot of potential, had two sons. And I told him, I said, "Son, you're hooking your mule up to the wrong wagon." He said, "But I have more confidence in this man than I do in you." I said, "Like I said, you're hooking your mule up to the wrong wagon." Now, him and his wife separated. They're both now, I think, remarried. They've got two sons now that are young men. I led both of those boys to the Lord right here on this altar. One on this side, one on that side. Mom and Dad weeping around them as they prayed and asked God to save them. And now they're not in church anywhere. Don't care a thing about church. The boys don't have no desire to go to church. Saw another young man at a funeral. I think she was actually a cousin. We always called her an aunt. 95 years old, we buried this week. There's another young man there that I had led to the Lord. Not in church, as far as I know, not in church anywhere. It's not their fault. It's not those young people's fault. It's because the parents wasn't there and they said, we'd rather divide. We don't. It's just between me and you. It ain't affecting nobody. It always affects somebody else. And then in Proverbs 14, and this is my last one. Proverbs 14, verse number 16, the Word of God says, and give you time to get there. I love to hear those pages turn. Proverbs 14, verse number 16, we'll call him the bold fool. It says, a wise man feareth and departeth from evil, but the fool rageth and is confident. That's that bold fool. That's that one that's in your face. That's that one, he don't care who he hurts. He's going to argue with you no matter what the cost. I've got a message I preach here before when I preach on the road sometimes on the high cost of being right. You ever seen people, they'd be right, Brother James, no matter what it costs them. I'm going to be right. You're going to say I'm right no matter what. I don't care what it costs a friendship, costs a family, costs me my job. I don't care. I'm right. I've seen people like it over the years. I've had people ask me, and Alan knows this. They say, how'd you stay at the county so long? And I didn't know your philosophy till those last 3 years, which I wish I'd have known that in 81 when I started. I wish me and you had been closer then. You could have told me. But I said, you just got to let a lot of stuff run off your back. You just can't take everything personal. I mean, how do you think I stayed there 20 years? I mean, the only reason I left in is because they run me off. They let me go. They said I was a liability. That's before I knew you could get out on a mental pension. I'd have got out a long time before that, probably, to let me go. Amen. But I tell you what, I learned over the years. There's a lot of battles that just ain't worth fighting. Is that right? You know, hey, we got a good buddy. We got a good buddy named David Sykes. David was in Vietnam, and it's like so many military men, his hearing is shot. Hear what I say, bro? His hearing, he can't hear nothing. And what he does hear, he don't hear it right. Which I think he's got hearing aids now, but when we were piling around together years ago, and we're going back 20 years ago, you could say something to David, and he'd just say, I mean, we was riding down the road one day having a conversation. And David said, Texas Pete! I said, what are you talking about? Well, y'all said something about putting Texas Pete on something, didn't you? We ain't said nothing about Texas. We ain't said nothing about Pete. I don't know where he got all that. Another time, we're riding down the road, we're having a conversation. He said, loose women, where? Where does he get this stuff? Me and my wife was in the store yesterday, and I saw a lady there, and I won't mention the name, but the lady very reminded me a lot of one of our dear ladies here at the church. And I said, that lady reminds me of so-and-so. She said, I wouldn't know. I ain't never seen a woman one time. You said what now?
Didn't remember.
I only seen her one time. I stopped and looked at her. She said, what'd you say? When you get old, you'll do that. What'd you say? And you work your head that way too, like it makes you hear better. I don't know. What'd you say? And I said the woman's name. She said, oh yeah, she does look like her. I said, what did you think I said? I thought you said Aunt Eleanor. Lord have mercy. I didn't think you'd ever met Aunt Eleanor one time. Point is this. I could have said, why don't you get your hearing checked, woman? Then I'd have been out in the cold all night, fool, after that, wouldn't I? I know she wouldn't have been like that, but it could have broke our fellowship, couldn't it? Now, I would have had a point. We talked about that a lot. I told her the other day, her mama kept losing her hearing aids.
She'd throw them in the trash, or the dog would eat them or something. I don't know what was going on with them things. Expensive. So I went to Harbor Freight. I got one of them things like Pop used to wear. You know, put 10 years and stick it on your shirt. I said, I'll get her one of these, $10. And I said, when she loses her hearing aid, stick this on her until we find her hearing aids. I said, ain't no use in running the bell tone every time she loses a hearing aid. Or they don't work. She get to pull the batches of them, get to picking around in there and break stuff and everything. I told her, I said, honey, you still got that thing I got you, Mama? You know what she said? She said, it only make me be able to hear your murmuring more louder. He said, how long y'all been married? We've been married 35 wonderful years in August, amen. He said, how can you say that? August ain't here yet. I ain't going nowhere and she ain't going nowhere, amen. Now, let me give you, I told you I was going to tell you how to deal with these people. Let me tell you how to deal with these people. How then can one properly deal with foolish people? Four things. You got to love them through Christ. You'll never make them understand your way. You've got to love them through Christ. They're going to have to see something in you that's going to make them say, you know, I've tried my best to guide him into a fight. I've tried my best to steer him into an argument. I pushed them as far as I, but you know, they never pushed back. You know that? We were riding along one day. I see things. She sees things. She's more observant over some things than I am, and I'm more observant on other things than she is. Y'all do know men and women see things differently, right? If y'all don't, let me explain that to you one day. I ain't got time right now, though. We was riding down the road, and there might have been a house. We'll just pick a color. The house is green. House has been green for years, Brother James. And it's a place we go by right often. She said, I wonder when they painted that house green. I said, I don't know. I hadn't paid much attention. You said, you lied. No, I didn't. I hadn't really paid much attention. I wasn't sure when 6 years ago they painted it green. I'm teaching you men something if y'all will pay attention. See, I could have made a deal about it, right? What does it matter? At the end of the day, she's my wife and I love her. And I don't care when they painted the man's. I don't care if they paint the house purple. Don't matter to me. Right? It ain't my house. Love them through Christ. Listen to this. You pay attention right here now. How are you going to deal with foolish people? Love them through Christ. Don't be swayed by them. Don't be swayed by them. Number three, stay on track. You know what's right. Somebody's trying to get you to, they're gossiping in your ear, or they're trying to bend your ear about something, and you know what's right, just stay on track. Don't be swayed by them. Don't be swayed by them. Understand this, you can't change them, only God can. I know a man, I'm going to tell you this, I'm done. I know a man, and I have known him for years. I knew him. He is a lawyer. But I knew him years ago as a lawyer. Boisterous, loud, a drunkard. But yet, we attended church together. And he has handled things for me before. One day on a Sunday afternoon, I was sitting in my house. And I don't know if it was Diane or Laura. Somebody said, there's a white Corvette in the yard. Who in the world's driving a white? Who do I know that drives a white Corvette? And I went out, and there was this lawyer friend. Not really a friend, an acquaintance. He's a friend now. He got out, and he said, preacher, held out his hand. He said, I want you to forgive me about something. I'm come today to beg you to forgive me. I said, forgive you for what? He said, all those years, he said, I played the part, I acted a fool. He said, but I've given my life to Christ, and he's saved me. And I'm a new creature in Christ now. And he said, I want you to forgive me for those years that I made a false profession of faith.
And I stood and I looked you in the eye when we were church members and told you that I was a Christian. He said, because I wasn't. Man, we rejoiced and shouted and had a time. When my wife got hurt, that was one of the first phone calls I got. He said, word has just got back to me. What do you need? He said, whatever you need, speak the word. I said, I don't need a thing, brother. Pray for us. He said, well, we have been. I've got the Sunday school class praying for you. He said, I've made it a matter in my personal prayer to pray for your wife. And he said, I want you to know that I'm here, whatever you need. What happened? What happened from a boisterous, loud, drunken fool? Jesus. God changed him. I sit down in that man's office the other day and I look around and there's scripture on the wall. There's a Bible open. He's talking about how good God is. He's not talking about money anymore. He's not talking about all his clients anymore. He's not talking about his cars anymore, his boats, his hunting trips. He's talking about Jesus. And that's all he seemed to be interested in talking about was Jesus. That's a good thing to be talking about, ain't it? Amen? Don't be surprised when you run up on a fool. You've been warned. The biggest question this morning, as our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, our biggest question this morning would be, are you a fool? Have you said in your heart there is no God? Have you got that attitude about you that you're going to be right and everybody else is wrong? Are you that way this morning? Are you a dividing fool? Is there division? I mean, you just got to argue about everything. It don't make no difference. You just want to argue. You want to find somebody to argue with. You just about go to Walmart, just walk around and see if you can find somebody to argue with. You like that this morning? Anybody like that to say, preacher, I need prayer this morning. You have nailed it this morning. I need prayer. You slip up your hand. Would there be anybody like that this morning? I see those hands. Bless your heart. Let's stand quietly to our feet as Miss Teresa plays. I just noticed I got in the habit here about 6 months ago of doing this. When God would give me a message, I'd write on the top corner of the message what date that God gave it to me. God gave me that on Christmas Day, 2012. Must have been what He wanted me to give y'all for Christmas. I see so many times in my life, folks,